And again this morning, we read from a song of faith about God's Spirit. We sing of God the Spirit, faithful and untamable, who is creatively and redemptively active in the world. The Spirit challenges us to celebrate the holy not only in what is familiar, but also in that which seems foreign. We sing of the Spirit who speaks our prayers of deepest longing and enfolds our concerns and confessions, transforming us and the world. We offer worship as an outpouring of gratitude and awe, and a practice of opening ourselves to God's still, small voice of comfort, to God's rushing whirlwind of challenge. Through word, music, art, and sacrament, in community and in solitude, God changes our lives, our relationships, and our world. We sing with trust. Scripture is our song for the journey, the living word, passed on from generation to guide and to inspire, that we might wrestle a holy revelation for our time and place and cultural assumptions of another era. God calls us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. The Spirit breathes revelatory power into Scripture, bestowing upon it a unique and normative place in the life of the community. The Spirit judges us critically when we abuse Scripture by interpreting it narrow-mindedly, using it as a tool of oppression, exclusion, or hatred. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, you call us to open ourselves to your Spirit, and yet your Spirit sometimes terrifies us. We worry about where it will take us and what it will encourage us to do in our faithfulness to you. Remind us, O God, that you reveal yourself to us in a multitude of ways, each of them rich and rewarding. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, I realize there's this interesting thing that happens to a congregation when their minister ages. I think I may have told you the story I'm about to tell you before, but I can't remember. So I figure if I can't remember, maybe you won't remember either. When I set about on a mission to buy a house in Toronto 6 years ago on a limited budget, my real estate agent really didn't hold out much hope for me. The first house we saw had a caved-in roof. I mean, literally, the roof was in the living room. Even I couldn't fix that. So when 2 days later he texted me to say he had found me a house in my price range and there were no structural issues, I think he expected me to jump on it right away. Instead, I took 3 days. I went back with my contractor friend. I went back the next day with my construction worker son. And then I stood in the kitchen on the third day and I said to the real estate agent, I don't know, Doug. I don't have that feeling deep down inside yet. And I need to have that feeling before I can make a decision. He's still my real estate agent, imagine that. We're all different, aren't we? You know, some people are very concrete, linear thinkers. They weigh the pros and cons, and they make a clear and reasoned, reasonable decision about things. those types probably would have signed before they'd even seen that house at that price. But some of us, well, some of us rely more heavily on our hearts and our souls to help us make decisions in life. You can blame it on lots of things, but the reality is we come at things from very different angles depending upon our history, our genes, our personality types. And that, I think, is one of the reasons we can't let go of the whole notion of God being revealed in different ways, otherwise known as our theological concept of the Trinity, because God needs to be accessible to all of us in the way best suited to our way of understanding the life, our life, and the world. I know not all of us are comfortable with talking about that feeling deep down inside, that nudging of the soul, that best sense. Just like not all of us really trust the chairperson of a meeting who asks for God's Spirit to help us discern the next step in the process. And I've come to learn in my years of ministry, it's okay when not everyone is comfortable talking about God by all of the Trinitarian names we give him. I have no doubt at all if we took a survey this morning, some of you would admit that it has been a long time since you used the name of Jesus in a respectable fashion. You are probably okay chatting in a social setting about God in a general, vague sort of way, but talking about him in his incarnational form of Jesus of Nazareth probably still feels a bit evangelical for you. Now, add to that vocalizing a belief in some airy, fairy, flittering spirit that wings her way around the universe, giving people a best sense about decisions they need to make. Well, that probably makes you squirm in your theological pews. And yes, actually, God's Spirit is often referred to in the feminine form. But you know, over the years, I've come to realize that all of that is okay. We're fortunate enough to have a God who has been made known to us in a multitude of ways, a God who pries away at our intellect, our emotions, our hearts, our minds, and our souls until somewhere, somehow, a door or a window opens and God finds an entry port that allows him to find a resting place within us. I imagine you know that the United Church has often been known as the Church of the Academics, where people with keen, inquisitive minds feel most at home. And there was a time, actually, when I would have questioned the authenticity of a faith that was mostly a faith of the mind. I thought everyone should have the experience of John Wesley, who, hearing someone read from Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans, felt his heart strangely warmed. But in all of these years of ministry, I have come to know folk who can only talk about God, and that from a pretty cerebral starting point. I have been in settings where I have praised Jesus with the best of the fundamentalists, and I've also prayed with the wildest of the Pentecostals for the gift of the Spirit to touch our hearts and souls. And most importantly, I have come to think that God would be quite delighted to be known to people in such a variety of ways. Okay, so confession time. I'm a spirit person. I know you would never have guessed that. I wait for that feeling deep down inside before I make most of my decisions in life. It's what pulled me away from some other choices in terms of careers to the ministry. It's what has taken me down pathways I hadn't mapped out in advance. It's actually what landed me here at St. John's, and it's what keeps me here, feeling both challenged and affirmed, of course, until a spirit or the personnel committee nudges me on. But none of us should spend all of our faith journey cuddled up in the room of faith where we feel most comfortable. Just like in any other area of our life, with our faith, we need to constantly challenge and stretch ourselves to be open to new ways of understanding and experiencing the divine. So my challenge to each of you as we move next week to talk about our life together in this institution of the church is to push yourself out of your theological or faith comfort zone. If you're an academic sort of believer, I invite you to perhaps spend some time in quiet contemplation, learning what it is to wait for that warming of the heart. If you're that sort of warm, fuzzy spirit type, I actually invite you to download our new senator, David Adams Richards' book, God Is, and stretch your mind a bit to think about God in new ways. And if you're a Jesus person, just remember that without God, Jesus would indeed have just been another good man. Faith is such a rich and exciting force in our world and our lives, and our Christian faith is especially rich in diversity and in capacity for new and varied understandings. So I urge you, I invite you, I implore you to explore, to question, to doubt, to fear, always on your way back to the one God who is revealed in a multitude of ways so that all of us might find an entry point to belief.